Good evening and welcome to Chicago Tonight Latino Voices. I'm Joanna Hernandez on the show tonight. The Democratic National Convention is days away. The chair of Illinois Democratic Party on what to expect. Plus, Latinos are a quickly growing portion of eligible voters. What issues are most important to them this election cycle?
With the Caribbean, I feel like we want people to feel happy.
And Latin Restaurant Week kicks off on Friday. We visit a restaurant cooking up brunch with a Caribbean twist. And now to some of what's happening around the city. Protesters say they are disappointed in the city's restrictions on their plans to march during the upcoming Democratic National Convention. In a news conference today, organizers with the Coalition to March on the DNC say they received a letter from the city outlining restrictions for the planned rally. Organizers say while permits were approved to use Park 578 and Union Park, the city is not allowing them to put up stages, sound equipment, tents, or portable bathrooms for the protest, a move the organization is calling an attack.
So essentially, we can meet at Union Park with potentially tens of thousands of people, not do a program that we've been planned for months, and then march on the short 1.1-mile route with sharp turns that they've offered.
Organizers say their attorney is filing an emergency injunction to fight the restrictions. And with the DNC days away, keep your eyes out for more parking restrictions around the United Center. This week, crews started to set up fences and signs indicating parking restrictions and zones. These initial closures will be followed by more extensive limitations at McCormick Place on Friday and the United Center on Saturday as security perimeters continue to be installed. Some buses will begin being rerouted starting today. The city is encouraging people to download the OEMC app or sign up for Notify Chicago to stay up to date with road closures. Check out our website for how to sign up. And to stay up to date on stories like these, check out our new email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan. We'll help you explore your community and neighborhoods across the city you might not be familiar with. We'll also share the news you need every day, as well as the backstory. Head to WTTW.com/newsletter to subscribe. And up next, one-on-one with the chair of Illinois Democratic Party on what to expect during next week's DNC. That's right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
The Illinois Democratic Party is gearing up for a busy week in Chicago. During the Democratic National Convention, they'll be meeting with other party leaders, discussing policies, and rallying behind presidential candidate Kamala Harris and her running mate, Governor Tim Walz. And the party's chair will be there to ensure Illinois is in the action. Now, joining us now with what to expect is Lisa Hernandez, chair of the Illinois Democratic Party. Thank you for joining us, Lisa. First question, what is the emotion? What is that feeling that you're feeling for next week?
Well, I'll tell you, since Kamala has gotten on that ticket, it has been an incredible surge of energy and momentum. We're trying to keep up with folks who are signing up to volunteer. And I think it's a good problem to have. So very inspiring times right now.
And how would you say Illinois Democrats have been preparing for the DNC?
So DPI in particular has been tasked with making sure that our delegation is ready for the DNC. So much of our work has been done to, we serve sort of like a customer service to our delegates here in Illinois. So we got to make sure they're accommodated, that they're receiving their credentials on a daily basis. And we are the ones that are tasked also with having a welcoming reception to all who are coming to Illinois, all delegates. Go ahead.
No, and talking about, they'll tell us about the delegation, who's represented.
So you have delegates, it's a total of 206 delegates here in Illinois. That's including our PLEOs and at large, a significant amount. But we have delegates coming from all over the country. I believe It's in the thousands that we're seeking, but when you count in all the visitors that we're expecting, it's about 50,000 people that are going to be arriving to Chicago during next week's convention.
And specifically the United Center. And talking about that, what would you say the significance is for the party that the DNC is in Chicago this year?
So what we're looking to do is, DNC is the stage. It's where it's at to really uplift the party, ignite, and get ourselves ready for the election in November. We've already started as a party to put to implement to get starting to work on the election for November. But before we get there, we have to make sure that we at the DNC we get everybody motivated and opportunity to get folks to participate and volunteer in every way imaginable. For me, it's going to be important to expand our Democratic base through the volunteer participation. This is really a moment that I definitely will be taking advantage in those terms.
Are you seeing a new momentum? You're talking a lot about volunteers. Is there more people volunteering?
Oh my gosh. So I'll tell you, just this last week I was at the Bud Billiken parade, and we had to shut down the volunteer because it was so overwhelming that we had to close it out. But that just gives an indicator of the kind of excitement people have right now. Down at the State Fair, I just came up last night. The flow that is coming through our tent, the swag that is being asked for, I mean, it's like never before. So and I'm hearing it from everywhere where people are calling. They're just, I feel like they're just coming out of the woodwork. So I really find this to be uplifting. It certainly has us going. And if we weren't busy,
That's really
we're even busier.
interesting. What would you say are some of the top issues the Illinois delegation is really hoping to address next week?
So, well, obviously, we're going to be nominating our president and vice president, Harrison Walz. That's going to be exciting. And basically, DNC is a opportunity to really unify people. It is a moment that we have to get out there the message of how our values are. There's just so much at stake right now. And if we are going to keep our freedoms, this is the moment. In particular, me being a woman, having two daughters and granddaughters, I am like doing everything and encouraging as much as possible to get involved. This is the moment. It's a historical moment. And on top of that, we are just about to elect the first woman, and I think we should start getting used to it, Madam President of the United States. It is really a time, a historical time, and I just encourage everybody to get involved.
And the DNC mainly highlights the presidential race, but what does it mean for other local campaigns?
Oh, I'll tell you, this is an opportunity for us as a party. We have launched calling it Organize Illinois. We have targeted, in particular, two congressional districts, the 13th and the 17th, which is Nikki Baczynski, Eric Sorensen. And this is an opportunity within those districts. If there is any other targeted districts from, bottom ballot all the way up, to make sure that people are coming out to vote. And this ticket is a way to use, for all races of all government levels. So really taking advantage of that moment.
And I know we talked about this a little bit, but what do you feel has changed for Illinois or the National Party since Biden dropped out and Harris secured the nomination? You talked about this new momentum.
Yeah, I think that it's uplifted. I think we were all in, what President Biden did to step down and pass the torch to Vice President Kamala Harris is just, I can't say how incredibly courageous that was on part of the president. I think he just understood that the momentum, was just at pause. And so for him to take that huge step, momentum step, it says a lot. And I think I certainly was very, didn't expect it, as I think many did. You were hearing it, and it was being asked to step down. But once he did, it just kind of like, just it paused, and then it just kind of hit.
It
It
hit.
hit hard, and so
Well,
it brought some, energy of a sort from people, and now they're just ready to get involved.
thank you so much for your input, and hopefully we cross paths next week. And join us next week for special coverage on the Democratic National Convention, live at 5:30 and 10 each night. We'll go in depth on the Harris campaign and hear from some more of Illinois leading Democrats. We're back with more right after this. Latinos are a key voting bloc in this year's presidential election. Pew Research estimates Latinos make up nearly 15% of the eligible voting population in the U.S. That's around 36 million Latino voters. And while some polls indicate Democratic Kamala Harris is leading Republican Donald Trump amongst Latino voters, there's still a long way to go before voters cast their ballot in the general election. Joining us to talk more about what's swaying Latino voters are Jose Sanchez Molina, a communications and political consultant who previously served as Deputy Press Secretary for Governor J.B. Pritzker. And joining us via Zoom is Geraldo Cavada, a history professor at Northwestern University, author of the book The Hispanic Republican, and writer for The New Yorker. Thank you both for joining us again. I want to start with you. How would you say this momentum is feeling right now with the DNC around the corner next week?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. 6 weeks ago when I was here, we were at a completely different point. Now what we see is a change in momentum and really an opportunity for the Democratic Party to focus on the issues and tell voters what they're going to do for them if they win the presidency and the couple of local elections that they're running in.
And Geraldo, I want to go to you. What are your thoughts about next week?
Yeah, I think next week is Kamala Harris's and Tim Walz's real opportunity to tell not only Latinos but all Americans who they are. I mean, I think Kamala Harris has generated a lot of enthusiasm for sure. And I think that in some ways has kind of changed the dynamics of the election. But a lot of Latinos still want to hear from her about what she will actually do. I think they're more willing to listen to her now. I think she has their ear. And now it's her chance to kind of close the deal and tell Latinos what she'll do as president.
And talking about that, what do you think Latino voters want to hear from Harris and Trump as Election Day approaches?
Well, I think they're going to want to hear how the two candidates distinguish themselves on issues like the economy and immigration and healthcare and education and all of the rest. I mean, I think so far it's kind of been a battle of words, and there's been a lot of, I guess people have called it like the vibes election, where people are trying to just get a sense of how they feel about a candidate. But I think the period between now and November is going to be a rush for both candidates to make clear what their policies are going to be on all of the issues that matter for Latinos.
What do you think about the word that he used, the vibes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at what Latinos care about, there's three issues that Unidos was able to identify. The top three were, one was cost of living, second, access to high quality paying jobs, and third was healthcare. And so, you know, the vice president has an amazing opportunity to tell Latino voters, how are you going to make home purchases more affordable, for example, and what are you going to do to tackle inflation?
And since President Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential election, how has a presidential race changed for Latinos, you would say, with Kamala Harris as Democratic nominee?
You know, one of the important things that people need to think about is that over the next 20 years, a quarter of all new voters guaranteed to be Latinos. And so when the parties are talking about attracting new voters or retaining voters, it is appealing to Latinos across the United States. So both candidates have an amazing opportunity. Latinos
are volunteering. What are the conversations with you and your friends? Is there some people who are like, I am going to vote, I'm not going to vote?
Since the switch happened, they are very excited. They're ready to volunteer. And the one thing that I think is really interesting, they're also donating. So they're putting their money where their mouth is as well, which I think is huge for both
candidates. Would you say it's a new change?
Yeah.
Hey, Geraldo, what does Harris offer Latino voters compared to President Biden, you would say?
Well, I think she's generated a lot of enthusiasm, especially among young Latinos and Latinas in particular. I've been talking a lot to the people at Voto Latino, kind of one of the biggest national registration and turnout operations for Latinos. And they've been registering more than 1,000 Latinos every single day since Kamala Harris became the candidate. And that's way higher. Those are the kinds of numbers that they would expect to see in the days right before the election. And they're seeing it, you know, in the middle of the summer, right before the convention. So I think, again, there's a lot of enthusiasm. And I think young Latinos, basically, I think the main thing that Kamala Harris has done for Latinos is kind of re-engage a bunch of Democratic-leaning voters who had been alienated by Joe Biden in particular. So young Latinas are kind of engaged by her stances on abortion. They identify with her as the daughter of immigrants and think of her as a representative of kind of the new multiracial America. So she's kind of re-engaged and re-energized those people who lean Democrat but hadn't been excited about either candidate before Kamala Harris declared.
And there's been these new groups that I've seen on TikTok and social media, like Latinas for Kamala Harris, where hundreds of women join those conversations. And Geraldo, how is Harris, would you say, a threat to Trump's Latino supporters?
Well, one thing I find really interesting is that I don't know that Kamala Harris is going to draw away from Trump's Latino supporters. I just saw a new poll come out from the Pew Research Center, which found that, you know, maybe a month or two ago, before Kamala Harris was the candidate, Trump and Biden were tied at 36% each among Latinos, with a whole bunch of undecideds. The new result is, the new poll finding was that it's Kamala Harris with 51% and Donald Trump with 35%. So Donald Trump's support has kind of remained steady. And I don't know that Kamala Harris is going to actually draw away from Trump's support. I think her magic so far has been, again, re-engaging the Latinos who were waiting to see something more from Democrats.
And Jose, Vice President Harris is a daughter of immigrants and the first woman of color to lead a major party's ticket in the U.S. How could this be appealing to Latino voters?
I think Latinos that normally wouldn't tune into politics are now looking at her. And the question that they're asking themselves is, what is Kamala going to do to make my life better? She has an amazing opportunity to tap into some of the energy and momentum that Democrats in Illinois have been able to do, some of the things they've been able to accomplish, and promise some of that to the nation. So a lot of excitement.
Are you going to go to the DNC next week?
I will be there.
You will be there.
If you see me, make sure you say hi.
Hey, Geraldo, what should the GOP strategy be to sway Latino voters away from Harris to the Trump campaign?
I think the two issues that are probably the greatest liability for the Democrats and Kamala Harris, and it was a kind of carryover from Joe Biden's presidency, has to do with border security and the economy. I mean, as Jose said, I mean, still, whether it's Joe Biden as the candidate or Kamala Harris as the candidate, the main issues that Latinos care about are the economy and inflation and the cost of groceries, the, you know, expense of rent, things like that. And so I think it's going to be really important for Kamala Harris to, you know, show that she's going to be better for them when it comes to their, you know, pocketbook issues. And I think, you know, before Kamala Harris became a candidate, You know, I think Latinos kind of gave Donald credit, or Donald Trump, some credit for the economy under his presidency, regardless of what the reality of the situation was for Latinos under Donald Trump's economy. They kind of credited him as being the candidate who could do the best for them with their economic issues.
What are your predictions? Do you think it's going to be a close race?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, today, I think that, you know, Kamala Harris has all of the momentum and certainly changed the dynamic. I mean, I attended the RNC in Milwaukee a few weeks ago, and it felt to me like Republicans all but thought they had it kind of all but sewn up and they were just going to march to victory. And I think at least Kamala Harris has changed the dynamics and kind of made it the close race now that we all assumed it would be all along.
What are your thoughts? We talked about there's been a new wave of people signing up and backing Kamala.
I think her message of hope, I think her message of policy promises over hateful rhetoric, over racism is going to win. And so that's, I don't bet, but if I was betting, I would put my money on Kamala.
And last question, Trump has yet to debate Harris. What do you expect to see?
I expect to see what people wanted from Joe Biden, which was energy, stances on policy, and a change from what Donald Trump is promising, which is, I think, hate and kind of a throwback to what the U.S. used to be a number of years ago.
Well, thank you, Jose Gerardo, for joining us for this conversation.
Thanks so much.
Up next, we visit a local restaurant paying tribute to Caribbean flavors and family memories.
Make WTTW your home for 2024 convention coverage. Leading up to the week of the Democratic National Convention, find the latest news on our website at WTTW.com/news. And spend each convention night with us, beginning at 5:30 p.m., with live Chicago Tonight reporting and analysis from the convention before and after PBS NewsHour's primetime coverage. WTTW, your source for trusted, independent news and information.
Latin Restaurant Week is kicking off tomorrow, featuring flavors from all across Latin America without leaving Chicago. We visited one of the participating restaurants, Caribela in Logan Square, and got a taste of their twist on some breakfast classics.
We want people to feel happy. It doesn't matter if it's like below zero outside. When you step in here, you have the palm trees, you have the bright lights. So it kind of goes with the food that you're going to be eating. Caribela was actually named Cafe Bella, and it was owned by Hector Peña, who unfortunately passed away in 2017. We wanted to kind of keep the legacy going, but we switched it to Caribela, which is from Caribbean, and then Bella for our daughter, who it was named after, to continue her name. I always say that we're spoiled in Chicago because we have so many good restaurants. Latin Week is just an opportunity to kind of highlight a few of those places. So we'll try to play around with some dishes just to make it interesting and fun for people when they come. We just are trying out our barbacoa yuca skillet. We have a French toast flight that will have the coquito French toast, the guava French toast, and then more of a Nutella and strawberry French toast. Who doesn't love chocolate? So we try to incorporate a lot of the Caribbean flavor into our food and make it kind of interesting. Trying to make breakfast fun again. We want to make sure that we incorporate Hector wherever we can. So we made this mural. We just conspicuously put HP, so a lot of people will ask, and that gives us an opportunity to kind of mention him. And I think it's important for his family also to know that, again, there's still the essence of him somewhere. I am not going to get emotional, but I think he would be very happy. Yeah. For a long time, that was a lot of pressure, you know, because even though the person is no longer here, you do feel a responsibility to not mess it up, right? And especially for me, I had no idea what I was doing. I relied heavily on, like, the guys here, like Miguel and Edgar. They're the ones that were here all along, and they could kind of knew how things worked. A lot of heart and hard work went into the place. It was something that Hector felt very strongly about. It was for his daughter. She actually works here as she goes to school. So it's kind of remained a very, like, family like a seed that we kind of want to keep it going.
The omelet with plantains looks really good. And Latin Restaurant Week kicks off tomorrow and goes through the 30th. And check out our website for more information. And that's our show tonight. Be sure to check out our brand new email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan. Our team worked really hard on it. We'll have the backstory on the biggest news of the day and the insights into what defines our city. We'll also help you explore your own community as well as neighborhoods across the city you may not know about. Head to WTTW.com/newsletter to subscribe. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 7 and 10 for the weekend review. And from all of us here at Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Stay healthy, stay safe. Buenas noches.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.